Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Somebody say, I am anointed and aligned. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you are anointed. Now ask them a question, are you aligned? That's the biggest question. We know you're anointed. If you were here 2 weeks ago, we know you're anointed. We need to know, are you aligned with that anointing? You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Alpha anointing, the first, the source, the origin, the genesis. Anointing is the act and result of God. Setting a person apart. It's what we in the church called consecration. How many of you don't mind being consecrated by God? If you're newer to walking with Jesus, don't ever mistake isolation with being alone. Because sometimes God has to move you out before he can move you up. There's a word for somebody today. Sometimes God has to separate you from them before he puts you in the place that he has called you to exist in. So it's the setting apart, the empowering of them by his spirit for a specific purpose, assignment, or office. 3 weeks ago, I started saying this phrase, and I've used it on Wednesdays and Sundays for the last 3 weeks. This is the year to stop asking, is it allowed, and start asking, is it aligned? The power of alignment, anointing God's Spirit resting on us, in us, doing something in us so that he can do something with us. But the power of alignment is being in alignment with who God is, his will, his word, his presence, his future for us. So last week, we established God as Alpha and that we are anointed, that we need to be aligned, because anointing without alignment creates frustration. Alignment is what allows anointing to flow unhindered. Some of us were anointed 2 weeks ago, but the enemy, he's fighting that anointing on your life. And he fights that anointing on your life because he knows you're not anointed so that you smell better. You're anointed because God has a place that he's sending you. And an assignment that he is assigning you to. And so when you're anointed, the enemy comes at you. And I said it on Wednesday night, but that anointing attracts attack. Don't be surprised when the devil comes out with everything he can to stop you after you are anointed. That's why we must be aligned. The Alpha anointing does not just start things, it orders things, it brings things into alignment. Alignment is the act of bringing our lives, our wills, our decision, our direction into agreement with God's order, God's word, and God's spirit. Alignment is when heaven and earth agrees in your life. We talked about this last week. Alignment precedes anointed function, meaning this, in Amos 3, can two walk together unless they be in agreement? We'll bring that point home just a little bit later on today. Some of us don't need a new anointing. We just need proper alignment with the anointing we already have. Then we talked about the Alpha anointing realigns our priorities. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. Somebody say all these things shall be added unto you. Whatever's first in your life determine what you give authority in your life and over your life. The Alpha anointing forces us to ask hard questions. What has my attention? What has my affection? And what has my obedience? And as we jump into some new material, if you're taking notes, write this one down. Number three, alignment keeps you in God's timing. Now, I've been eating better. How many of you are still going strong? You're either fasting or your New Year's resolutions are still going strong. Raise your hand if your New Year's resolutions are still intact. There's about eight of us. All right, that's not very good. Get back on the horse. But I was tempted this week. See, I do pretty good as long as I can control the environments I'm in. So I don't have to go to Pizza Hut. I don't have to go to McDonald's. I mean, sometimes it seems like my car just drives to Whataburger by itself. But on Sunday, I mean, I'm sorry, during this conference, they kept bringing food trucks up here. And then I'm like, all right, the devil is a liar. He's driving the food to me now. There's a burger truck and a taco truck. I did good most of the day Friday. Didn't go out for lunch. Actually, let me be full transparency. I did go out for lunch. The line was way too long. So I went back mad and hangry to my office. But I did go back out that evening. And I was so excited about the taco truck, but it was closed. So I went to the burger truck. See, the devil kept working. Made sure one of them was open, and God closed one. And I lost that battle, y'all. I stood and I ordered a hamburger or a cheeseburger. Right as I got that cheeseburger, and I walked back in the office, I get a text from one of our young leaders that said, taco truck literally opened the moment you walked back into the church. To which I replied, timing is everything. I can preach about anything, y'all, but can I preach this spiritual point? What have you settled for? Because you didn't get what you wanted, so you settled for something that was just there. Can I talk to the singles? You've been single for a while, and you're getting impatient. Don't settle for what's there. Don't settle. You want Mr. Right, not Mr. Right Now. You want Mrs. Right, not Mrs. Right Now. And y'all better have some real discernment, because these days, Mrs. Right looks like Mr. Right. And Mr. Right, I am going to go there. I said, Pastor Hope's got some faith having an all queens conference in 2026, because you have that phrase, you don't know who's going to show up. But I feel in you that a lot of times we settle for what is available instead of saying, all right, God, I'm going to align myself in your word, in your will, in your presence, and on your timing. Somebody say, timing is everything. In God's perfect timing, Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season. Man, that blesses me. Everything has a season. Your pain has a season. Your frustration has a season. Disappointment has a season. Singleness has a season. Poverty has a season. Sickness has a season. And every time, listen to this, every time has a purpose under the heaven. If I'm going to be sick, I know it's seasonal, but I'm going to learn the purpose in the sickness. If I'm in a valley, I'm not going to cuss the valley in darkness. I'm not going to whine and complain. I'm going to say, I know this valley isn't forever. It's a season. And I'm going to learn the purpose in this season so that when I get out of this season, I am a better man than when I went into this season. Can I encourage somebody that what you are going through today, it might be tough and it might be rough, but it is not going to be forever. But instead of just sitting there and waiting for it to pass by, say, God, in this season, I'm going to worship you. In this season, I'm going to align myself with you. And in this season, I'm going to learn something. Somebody say, it's just a season. Write that down. It's just a season. You can be doing the right thing at the wrong time and still be out of alignment. Habakkuk 2:2 says, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. We don't read verse 3 a lot in the context of verse 2. We always talk about write the vision. And if you're like me, you've written down goals for 2026 and beyond, and you've written down those goals. They are nothing but daydreams and fantasies if you don't put steps on how you're going to achieve those goals. But I do also want to tell you that if you want to lose 100 pounds, it's not going to happen in January unless you get surgery. It's going to happen from January to December. If you want to get in better shape, it's not going to happen for three Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays in January. It's going to take discipline every week, every day of your life, making sure you're putting something in that is going to be fuel for your body, and then going to the gym or running or whatever you do. It's not going to happen all at once, but there is, verse 3 says, an appointed time for each vision. I am here to declare to people and encourage you in the room today. What you are going through is seasonal. There is an expiration date, and there is an appointed time. And God sometimes doesn't give us the appointed time, because that's what faith says. Faith says, I believe this season is going to finish tonight, but if it doesn't, my faith tomorrow morning will still be in Jesus as I wait for the appointed time. But at the end it shall speak, it will not lie. Though it tarry, though it wait, wait for it. Though it waits, wait for it. And you've heard me preach this a long time. God, I believe, has divine appointments for our life. That means if you have not received it, you are not ready for it, or it is not ready for you. So God is preparing you for it. God is preparing it for you. And when both of those things are ready, God will bring a divine intersection in your life. And that is what we call the appointed time. At the end, it shall speak. It will surely come. It will not tarry. Timing is alignment's twin. The Alpha anointing doesn't just tell you what to do. It tells you when to do it. Delayed obedience is disobedience, because it gets you out of time. It gets you out of alignment. Premature movement is presumption. Presumption that you know what God is doing, where he's going, and what he is going to do, and who he's going to use. And sometimes you and I don't know. And I've been on this kick the last couple months as I've been talking with God. I am on a need-to-know basis with God. And sometimes I don't need to know, because if I have to know everything, it destroys the faith that God is trying to build. Let me encourage somebody. You know what a walk of faith looks like? A walk of faith says, God, I know you will, but I don't know when. I know you will, but I don't know who's going to do it. I know you will, but I don't know where it's going to happen. But I trust you at the appointed time. Why? Because I'm in alignment with you. And when you show up where I need to be, and when you show up where it needs to be, I know it's going to happen. Alignment keeps you synchronized with heaven's calendar. Y'all pray for me. I'm very frustrated with a certain contractor I'm working with. Contractor, if you're watching online today, you'll know I'm talking about you. If I tell you that I would love to meet with you on a Monday, and you say, yeah, Monday works good for you, what time? And I say 9 a.m., I mean 9 a.m. I don't mean 2 in the afternoon. I don't mean 9:45. I mean 9 a.m. And the reason that we schedule things, listen to this spiritual point, the reason we schedule things is so that we can schedule other things. So if I schedule you at 9 a.m. and you come at 2 p.m. and then you expect to see me, and I've been waiting for you for 5 hours, I already have another 2 p.m. lined up, and I'm meeting with them, not you, because you were late. So when we talk about appointed time, it is important, church, that we are aligned, not just anointed with God's calendar and synchronized with his timing. Why is that? Because God has a thing that he wants to do in you on Sunday, because he has an appointment for you on Monday and another appointment on Tuesday morning. He's got a place for you to go on Wednesday afternoon, somebody to talk to on Thursday and Friday. So if you aren't where you need to be aligned with God on Sunday, the rest of the calendar is thrown off. And now we are frustrated, and God is saying, every prayer you're praying, I want to answer, but there is a time to everything I'm doing. There is a season to what you're going through, but I need you to align yourself with me so that you are in the right time. Number 4, misalignment creates resistance. Alignment releases flow. Some of us are being resisted, not because we're anointed, but because we're misaligned. That's where discernment takes place. Am I being attacked because I'm anointed, or am I a prisoner of my own decisions because I'm not aligned with God, or I'm misaligned? There's a lot of us who are praying prayers for God to rescue us from things that we have control of. God, heal me from lung cancer. Quit smoking cigarettes. God, heal me of heart disease. Put down the fork. God, I need you to fix my husband. No, God needs you to be you. Let your husband pray. You can pray for your husband, but if you keep antagonizing him, Lord, fix my wife. Yeah, but if you treat her better, praise God. If you'd appreciate her and take care of her. There's so many times that I pray a prayer and say, God, I need you to do this. And God said, I can answer that prayer. What I need you to do is walk in to the bathroom and look in the mirror. There's the answer. You're welcome. Well, God, I wanted you to work a miracle. I already worked a miracle in you when I saved your sinful tail that was headed to hell. So you fix the problem. There's four answers to prayer. Not in my notes, but I love this. From the great Kenneth Phillips. There's four answers to every prayer you pray. And these four answers are the only answers you will ever get. Number one, yes. Number two, no. Number three, wait. Number four, get up and do it yourself. I have never in my life, 22, almost 23 years of marriage, told Mandy to go make me a sandwich. Oh, I got quiet. Because some of you have been told to make a sandwich and some of you have been telling somebody to make you a sandwich. Never done that. She's brought me a sandwich. Hey, babe, I'm making me something for lunch. Would you like a sandwich? Sure. But I've never ordered her to do something that I can do. Some of our prayers in this 21 days of prayer and fasting have been wasted because you are ordering God to do something he gave you authority to do. Praise God. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Jonah rose and fled unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, paid the fare thereof, went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. This writer keeps saying Tarshish, Tarshish. He's making the point. He is everywhere that God does not want him to be. Misaligned. Everywhere, like the exact opposite of the American Express card. That's everywhere you want to be. You're everywhere God doesn't want you to be. But the Lord sent a great wind. That messes with some of your theology now. What if the wind and storm you're in is not from Satan? What if it's from God? Oh, okay. We're just going to act like that's not in the Bible. Okay. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was like to be broken. Jonah is called of God. I need you to go to Nineveh. I need you to preach. I need you to preach redemption. I need you to preach turning of the hearts of the men and women and children back to Jehovah God. He has the calling, but he is misaligned. If God calls him, that means God has anointed him. Why? Because the calling is the assignment. What are we anointed for? An assignment, a purpose, a calling, an office. Jonah is called. Jonah did not lose his calling. Let me just help you because this is going to encourage you today. Jonah is called to go to Nineveh. He's anointed, he's called. Let me tell you something. When he's in Joppa, he's still called. When he's in Tarshish, still called. When he's in the boat in the middle of a hurricane, still called. When he is in the belly of a fish in the ocean for 3 days. Guess what? Your boy Jonah is still called, which leads me to encourage you with this. I don't know what you're facing today, church. I don't know what you're going through today, church. I don't know what it looks like in your life, but I've come to tell you the devil is a liar and you are still called. You are still anointed. You might be addicted, but you're anointed. You might be sick, but you're anointed. You might be confused, but you're anointed. You might be misaligned, but you're anointed. You might be going the wrong direction, but you are anointed. I need about 100 people to jump up on your feet and say, I'm still anointed. Hey, I'm still anointed. I got tobacco on my breath. I'm still anointed. I smell like weed. I'm still anointed. I got the stench of yesterday's mistakes on my life. I'm still anointed. Woo. He didn't lose his calling. He lost his alignment. And you know what I love about that point, church? You can get aligned very quickly. You can get out of line very quickly, but you can get aligned just as quickly. I am here to encourage somebody in the room. You might have been doing your own thing for the last 2 years, but in 2 minutes, you can get realigned with the Father. That prodigal son was out there living like hell for the world, and he was squandering everything the Father gave him. And while he was sitting in that pig pen, he began thinking about the Father's house. And what he didn't know was he was still anointed in the pig pen. He was still anointed when he wasn't around the Father. But then he began to think about the Father's house. And if I could get your attention on Jesus for a few moments, while you were sinning, the Father was fattening up a calf and planning your coming home party. And while you've been backslidden and cold, and while you've been doing your own thing, the Father had been saying, shame on you. That's what we call grace. Grace is the ultimate story, that you are still anointed no matter what you have done. And while you are sinning, the Father's saying, I need you to get the table ready. I need you to get a lot of chairs. I need you to make sure we have enough food. Why? Because my sinful son is about to come home, and I need you to know he's still anointed. He's been out of line the last couple years. He's been doing his own thing for a couple months, but the son is coming home. And when he comes home, the son said, I'll just come back as a servant. But the father said, no, you're anointed as a son. I'm not bringing you back as a servant, because then you would be in the father's house and you'd still be misaligned. I'm bringing you back into the father's house as a son, because you're still anointed. And now we just need to get you back in line. And here, can that encourages some. But can I preach a cautionary tale for 30 seconds to everybody else? When the prodigals come home, you better watch your reaction, because there was the prodigal son who was misaligned. You had the other son who never left, who was aligned. But when the misaligned son came home, and he was still anointed, and he was treated as a son, the son who never left said, I ain't gonna praise and party and celebrate. And the end of the story happens where one son comes back in that was unaligned. And the son that had never left now finds himself on the outside looking in. 2026, you're gonna see some people come to Living Way Church. You better celebrate prodigals. You better celebrate the ones that hadn't been here for a few months. You better celebrate the ones that don't look the part. You better celebrate the ones that still have the stench of sin in their life. Grace is an ultimate story, that we are still anointed and God is still calling us home. I got 3 minutes left. Resistance. What Jonah was dealing with. The storm wasn't because Jonah was weak. The storm was because Jonah was off course. That's why I can preach that God sent that storm. That storm wasn't to sink Jonah. That storm was to push that boat where it needed to be so that Jonah could eventually get to Nineveh to preach. I heard somebody this week talking on social media, a pastor. Man, it's a great, great, great sermon, great thought that I've never thought of. He said, you know, when you look at Noah's Ark and all the specificity that God used when he said you need to build it this long, this tall, this wide, it needs to be made with this kind of wood, and you got to use this kind of pitch, and this is where the door should be, and all of these things. He said, it finally dawned on me that after everything that God said to build that ark, he didn't put a rudder on the ark. And he didn't put a sail on the ark. Why? Because God was going to choose where that ark went. The wind was going to push that ark. This storm was not because he wasn't called. This storm was not because Jonah was weak. It was because he was unaligned, misaligned, and God was moving him back. Isaiah 1:19, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Jonah was both unwilling and disobedient. Willingness is heart alignment. Obedience is action alignment. You get your heart right, your actions are going to follow. When willingness and obedience line up, provision flows. He said, you'll eat the good of the land. Provision flows. What you need from God flows. Number five, in closing, the Alpha anointing realigns identity before activity. This is important. You have to know who you are first before you can do what God has called you to do. It's dangerous when we start swinging the sword of the Lord. That's why I'm grateful for social media, but some of these social media pastors or prophets, they ain't been in a local church in a long time. They ain't had a covering in a long time. So you got a lot of activity from them, but no identity. Activity without identity is dangerous. Matthew 3:16-17. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straight up out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Before Jesus did anything publicly, the Father declared who he was. That's Jesus. Remember, Jesus is all man, all God. God wrapped in flesh. Before he ever turns water to wine, before he ever opens deaf ears, blinded eyes, before he ever delivers people from demonic possession, before he ever brings people back to life from the dead, before he has ever resurrected himself, in this moment of baptism, God speaks identity. Everybody there heard the thundering voice of God. Hey, that guy you just baptized, he's anointed, he's called, he's got an assignment, he is, praise God, my beloved Son, who I am well pleased. Even if you didn't hear it, the day you got anointed, God made an announcement that all of heaven heard, all of hell heard. This is my daughter, whom I'm well pleased. This is my Son, whom I'm well pleased. That is identity before activity. Identity must be aligned before assignment can be trusted. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 1, Jesus was led up into the spirit of the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, some of us that fasted this month or still are fasting this month, it's been tough. Jesus did that 40-day fast, no food, nothing, out there in the heat, in the wilderness. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made into bread. Notice this, church, the enemy, did not question Jesus' power. He questioned his identity. The enemy doesn't attack what you can do. He attacks your thoughts on who you are. That is why it's important that every time you come to Living Way, somebody from this pulpit, whether it is children's ministry, youth ministry, men's, women's ministry, whatever, we need to remind you who you are in Christ, that you are not who you used to be. The last 3 days, almost 600 women from all over the nation were in this room, and the entire conference theme was reminding them, you're royalty, you're queens. You're not what the world said you are. You're not what your ex-husband said you were on Facebook. This is who God created you to be. This is who he said you are. This is your identity. Satan always attacks alignment by attacking identity. When you know who you are in God, you don't chase validation, approval, or comparison. I can't validate you. You can't validate me. God has the say. He has the first say, the alpha say, and the final say, the omega say. Alignment silences insecurity. If you are feeling insecure about who you are, it's because you are out of line, out of alignment with God. I've come to encourage you to read what God's word says about you. He calls you an ambassador. He says you're more than a conqueror. There's so many great things about you, but if you listen to the adversary, you will always tend to match what you think with what the adversary says. Why? Because the adversary says a lot of things that you're going through and what you look like. You know, I got a problem in Hebrews that they still refer to Rahab as the harlot. That was who she used to be. But then she met Jehovah God. She wasn't a harlot anymore. But even the writers of the New Testament said, yeah, Rahab the harlot. No, Rahab the redeemed. We call him Doubting Thomas. He doubted one time and he's labeled for the rest of his life. We call him Blind Bartimaeus. No, that's who he was before he met Christ. But his identity is Perfect Vision Bartimaeus. But this preacher, 2,000 years later, still calls him Blind Bartimaeus. No, that's who he used to be. He was blind for 40 years. He's been able to see for 4,000 years. Come on now. Stand on your feet if you will. Remarcus, will you come help me real quick, bro? I thought you'd be good for this illustration. I want to give real quick. Mandy, if you'll come up here too. Remarcus, I don't want to mess with your ego at all. And I don't want Miss Tanisha to amen or boo real loudly right now. But for this illustration, you're gonna be God. Okay? And you're gonna be my wife. Can you play that part? You've done very well for 23 years. Thank you so much. Give me 2 more minutes. I'm out of time, but give me 2 minutes. As I was preaching on alignment these last 2 weeks, last week I used the phrases misaligned and unaligned synonymously, just back and forth. I've done that today. And in the staff meeting the next day, which I do often, I said, you know, yesterday I used the word unaligned, and I don't even think that's a word. I was like George W. Bush, just making up words on the campaign trail. Strategery. And someone sitting there in staff meeting did a quick search and they said, no, both of those are words, but they mean two entirely different things. And so immediately when they began to read the definitions, God began to speak to me. I said, hey man, send me those. So they sent me. So this is unaligned. Unaligned is not lined up at all. But listen to this. It means not even associated with. You're not even in the same ballpark. Being unaligned is dangerous. Remarks, if you'll stand right there. So being unaligned is when God is here and I'm way over here. There is distance between us. There is enough distance for 15 people to get between me and who God is. But when I align myself, Pastor Manny, will you drag that back? When I align myself with God, he's bigger than me. I mean, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm sure he's stronger than me. When I was younger, my dad could see that I wasn't going to be very tall, and he said, you're either going to have to fix your mouth or get bigger friends. So I found David Miller, so I didn't have to fix my mouth because I am a mouthy guy. So as a believer, when I'm aligned with God, the enemy doesn't just see me. It sees the God that I'm in alignment with. But some of us, we get aligned on Sundays, and then by Sunday afternoon, we're back to doing our own thing. And then on Monday afternoon, we're over here. And on Thursday morning, we're over here. And Friday over here. Oh, wait a minute. Wednesday night. Yeah. Let me get back in line. Let me worship. Oh, yeah, this is great. But God wants us to be aligned. And sometimes God's got my back. But sometimes I'm so weak. You don't even see me. You just see God. And you don't always have to see me. And look, he can stand there. I could be on his side. Or I can be on this side. And it doesn't matter who I am, what I can do. I am aligned with God. You will always see more of him than you will of me when I am aligned. Pastor Mandy, come. So they're unaligned, and then there's misaligned. Misaligned is when you're just a tad out of alignment. So, this was right. Let's do this. This is how we see marriage. This isn't marriage. This is marriage. Or this is marriage. It's when we become one. You're not just standing by my side. You're not under my feet. We are both aligned with God. And so Sometimes it is for her to preach and say, and I'm standing with her and God's got my back, and she knows that she's got a man that has her back, but God has my back. And then sometimes it's time for me to preach and she's got my back, and I know that I've got a woman that's praying for me. And before we came out to this service, she laid her hands on my head this morning and prayed for me. What was that? I was appreciating the woman praying for me, but I understood there was a God behind her that was praying for me. And while she was praying, I knew that Jesus was interceding. But the problem is, she gets unaligned. I get unaligned. And then when we have problems, we get back together. We get back in alignment for a season, and then she gets, and then I get. And then here's where a lot of us are. I want you to turn this direction. And then I turn this direction. See, now we're just misaligned. She's looking that direction, I'm looking this direction, God's looking this direction. And this is more dangerous than being unaligned, because we feel the proximity of the Father, but we're not in alignment with the Father. This is your moment, church. Thank you guys very much. Pastor Manny, stay up here with me and help me pray. This is a strong woman of God here, church. And I'm excited about this church, the direction of this church. But my prayer for me, for her, for us, is perfect alignment. We're getting ready, and I'm gonna just say this publicly so that you can pray for us. January 27th, on a Tuesday night, all of our directors, team leads, assistant directors, our lead team, we're meeting in this room, and we're going to talk about church and future and vision. And that is going to be an exciting meeting, but it is going to be a meeting that we are calling everybody in alignment. Because if you're misaligned, we want to get you aligned. If you're unaligned, we want to get you aligned. But if you don't care about getting aligned, we want to get you out of leadership. Because I'm not going to let you derail what God is doing. You can get on board, you can get out the way, or we will run you over. But this train, praise God, is moving forward. If you feel like getting aligned with God, I need you to step out of your seat and I need you to join us. Pastor Mandy, if you'll get the anointing oil, we're going to begin to pray. Mike and Casey, you have broken the ice here today. The anointing is all over you. God has brought you together for this season. There are seasons, I feel this so strong. Mike and Casey, there are seasons that ended the day you said I do. Those seasonal things ended. A brand new thing was born and birthed. But here in these last few months, God has been putting a fresh anointing on you. He's been getting you ready. He's been speaking things to you. I don't know if I feel like this is so strong. God's been waking you up out of sleep in the middle of the night with ideas, with word, rolling you out of bed for devotion, rolling you out of bed to talk to him. Casey's nodding her head, big old tears coming out of her eyes right now. Alignment, look from side to side. We got men and women in this altar right now. If you want to get saved, you want to give your life to Jesus, this is your moment. Very simply put, if you don't know Jesus as Savior and Lord, you are unaligned or misaligned. Let's get in alignment. We're not going to embarrass you. I'm not a priest. You don't confess to me. You're going to call on the name of Jesus. He's going to show up. He's going to save you. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and be like that young teenage girl that ran up to me yesterday and said, Pastor Brandon, I spoke in tongues for the first time. That's exciting. Not just in her. There's billions of us, and we want to make that happen in your life. If you're ready to be baptized in water, let's make it happen. Last week, we had them lay more paraphernalia Wednesday on this stage. Addiction's broken. You got something in your pocket, in your purse, in your pocketbook, in your car, and you're ready to get in alignment. That thing that you've been putting up your nose, down your throat, in your veins, inhaling, it's robbing you from alignment. Pornography, robbing you from alignment. Hatred, robbing you from alignment. Wrong relationships, let's get in alignment in Jesus' name. Anything you need, let's pray about it.